Severinus. It's my pleasure to welcome IQ Al-Rasuli, the foremost expert on Islam in the world today. A man who was born in Iraq, knows a great deal about the Middle East and the changes that have taken place there. IQ, I'd like to begin with just a fairly simple question. As an Iraqi, is Iraq a better place to live now after the American invasion and the removal of Saddam Hussein? Or was it a safer, better, more prosperous, freer place to live during the time that Saddam Hussein ruled Iraq?
Obviously, it was definitely safer. In general, it was safer. There were no acts of terror. Mm-hmm. True, Saddam himself was a terrorist, but every single Muslim leader is a terrorist. So it's nothing big.
Mm-hmm. So the amount of terror that took place in Iraq, the amount of persecution of Christians and Zoroastrians, the amount of religious killing between Sunnis and Shia Muslims in Iraq was de minimis during Saddam Hussein's reign.
100% correct, yes, minimal.
Yeah. And today we're dealing with hundreds of thousands of acts of kidnapping, torture, genocide in the case of Christians and Zoroastrians, and a all-out war between Sunnis and Shias.
In fact, we're talking about millions now.
So millions. So the invasion of Iraq was infinitely counterproductive and only served to fuel Islamic terrorism.
Yes, same the invasion of Libya.
Oh, boy. The invasion of Libya. We've got Muammar Gaddafi, who is a retired, almost retired, leisurely syphilitic over that country. A guy that indulged in his youthful days in terrorism, celebrated terrorism, certainly. But in his older days was just mostly a run-of-the-mill dictator in the Islamic world. And the Americans decided we could bomb him into oblivion and create a democracy in Libya. How'd that turn out?
Well, as expected with American intervention in any Muslim world, mm-hmm. it turned out to be the exact opposite of what they intended. You cannot have democracy in Islam. Full stop.
Okay, so what we created was a terrorist state where we've got a bunch of jihadis fighting with each other for control of that that country, and it is, well, second maybe only or third only to Syria and Iraq, and maybe fourth to next to Afghanistan. It's in the among the five worst places to live on Earth.
Yes, including Yemen.
Right. So then America bombed it, didn't we?
Yes.
Afghanistan. Aren't there millions of Afghanis that are fleeing Afghanistan because America made it worse, not better?
That's also true. It's
so
not just
what
America.
So it's how does America... America.
The whole Western mind, right? Yeah, the whole Western mind of the leadership of the Western people mm-hmm. are clueless.
They are clueless.
They have absolutely no idea how to deal with Islam. Although Islam is telling them 24 hours a day, 1400 years, we shall destroy you, we shall dominate you with Sharia.
Yeah. And you know what's so amazing here is that the United States, the UK, and Turkey issued a statement against Russia saying that their bombings would only fuel more extremism. And this is after the United States and the UK created the disaster of Islamist terrorism in Afghanistan, in Yemen, in Iraq, in Syria, in Libya, and throughout all of northern Africa, in Mali, and really armed Boko Haram to be able to perpetrate the horror that they are doing in Nigeria. We instigated all of this, including the genocide that's being perpetrated on the Copts as a result of the military junta that America props up in Egypt. We are responsible for all of it, and yet we're lecturing the Russians? Are we out of our ever-loving mind?
Well, they haven't got any mind. What other degree of extremism could there be created beyond ISIS? I want to know. Well, I want to know how is it possible that you can be more extreme than ISIS?
Yeah, well, how is that possible? Well, let's compare. The Russians are bombing al-Nusra because al-Nusra is a greater threat to the Assad regime than is the Islamic State. Is that a statement? Yeah, right, they are. And the reason they're a greater threat to the Assad regime is because the Islamic State was not created, and its primary purpose is not to defeat Assad. What's the primary purpose? What was the basis of the Islamic State being created, and what's its primary purpose? Because it sure as hell isn't to defeat Assad.
No, it's to overthrow all the governments of the Middle East. All of them.
Isn't its primary, didn't it emerge out of the American armed onslaught of Iranian Shiite Muslims against Sunni Muslims, and it emerged to protect Sunni Muslims from the genocide being perpetrated against them in Iraq by the Shias?
Yes, but the Americans are arming both sides.
Of course they are. Yeah, of course we are. That's stupid. But that's the Islamic State's primary objective is to rid the world of Shia Islam.
100%. And the Shia Muslims' primary objective is to rid the world of Sunni Muslims.
Right. But in this battle, if you're in opposition to the Islamic State, then by definition, you have to side with Shia Islam. Is
Absolutely.
There any chance in the world that Shia Islam is going to prevail against Sunni Islam?
In the long run, it is almost impossible. Because Sunni Islam is 85%. Shia Islam is 15%. Sunni Islam has atomic weapons. Shia Islam will have, but it will not have as many as what the Sunnis have.
Right. And if you look at weaponry, in addition to manpower. So on manpower, it's 5-1. Sunnis versus Shias, 5-1. That's a pretty tall order to overcome. You know, if they were Israel, that would be, you know, they would do that in 5 minutes. But these are Muslims fighting Muslims, 5-1. In weaponry, I looked at the sales of weapons worldwide to Islamic countries, and the numbers are 25-1. The Sunni Muslims are 25 times better equipped with military hardware than Shia Muslims. Can you win a war, a long-term war, fight to the death, if your enemy is 25 times better armed and 5 times more numerous?
There is no chance in hell if you're using conventional weapons. No chance.
Right. And if you're using nuclear weapons and you are on the precipice of having them and are going to have few and crude, and your opposition has many and more sophisticated, are you going to win that way?
No.
No.
Again, it is catastrophic loss either way.
Right. So why would the West be at war against Sunni Islam when Sunni Islam has absolutely no chance to lose this battle and in essence be bolstering Shia Islam?
$4 million question. If you can answer it, I would be grateful.
Yeah. You know what's also so perplexing about this is that the United States is declaring that the only smart thing to do in the Middle East is to oppose the Islamic State and Assad. Now, if you're doing that, you're in opposition to both sides.
Yes, but the American government is clueless. It has been clueless, good God, for what? Since the Russian collapse in Afghanistan.
Right. But, you know, the United States and Europe are allies of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar et al., Turkey, the Sunni Muslim countries, and Russia and China are allies of Iran and Syria, the Shia Muslim countries, and yet the United States has declared war on the most effective Sunni fighting unit in modern history.
Yeah. Well, whether they can win is another story.
Oh, it's absolutely astonishing. Putin has come out along with the Donald Trump and saying that you really ought not be opposed to Assad. And neither went and said that Assad's a nice guy. But
nobody ever said that Assad was a nice guy.
Okay.
Nobody ever said that Gaddafi was a nice guy. All the Americans have done, we want to democratize these people. Well, you can't democratize Islam.
Correct. Now, what is interesting is that you would think America would learn. We we decided that Mullah Omar and the Taliban had to be ousted from Afghanistan. When we ousted him, and he's now dead, is Afghanistan better for it?
No.
Okay, we decided that we needed to oust Saddam Hussein. Is Iraq better for it?
No.
We decided we needed to oust Libya, Muammar Gaddafi. Is it better for it?
No.
We decided that we needed to oust Mubarak from Egypt. Is it better for it?
No.
So why do we think that removing Assad is going to be different than those five most recent examples?
Because stupid people are ones who keep repeating the same mistake thinking it will change.
Yeah, in fact, that's the definition of insanity, isn't it?
Yes.
So either the world's Western leaders are insane, or they're extraordinarily immoral, corrupt, vicious with their actions.
I think it's the second one. I don't think they're insane.
I think so, too.
They are corrupt. They are immoral.
Mm-hmm.
They are clueless. They haven't even had the decency of reading the first 9 chapters of the Quran.
Correct.
Not even the book.
Right. And if you read the first 9 chapters of the Quran, in fact, you just read the 8th surah and the 9th surah and the 5th surah. You read any one of them. You know, it'd take you 20 minutes. You'll know what Islam's all about. And those are the last surahs revealed, man. There's no abrogation. That's the essence of Islam. So here you go. You've got the United States saying that Putin is counterproductive in Syria. Does Putin have a greater or lesser interest, therefore right to intervene in Syria, than does America?
He has every right to intervene.
Syria is his ally, right?
Absolutely. Putin is putting Russia's interests first.
Right.
Obama puts the enemies of America.
So when America started to bomb Syria, knowing that the only deep water port that the Russians had in the Mediterranean was Syria, wasn't Obama setting the world up for world war?
100%.
Don't you think that he knew that at the time?
No, he didn't. At the time, he honestly believed that Putin is a pushover. Made a mistake. Putin is not a pushover. Putin is a chess player. Obama is a golf player. No contest.
Now, I play golf, so that's the meaning. IQ, as an Iraqi, is Iraq better off today or worse off?
Worse off.
Yeah. And the same thing would be true of Afghanistan and Syria and Libya, which is why there are some 10 million refugees that want to flee these areas. And so why in the world would anybody with a straight face even write down that the Russians are doing the wrong thing and that the Americans in Europe are doing the right thing? Everything we've done is turned to mud.
By the way, the Western media is colluding.
They are.
Literally, yeah. They are perverting
the fact
about what Russia is doing.
Yeah, I would agree. In fact, everything that I read is so jaundiced. Putin isn't all right in the sense, for example, he recently met with representatives of Hamas, for example, and celebrated a meeting with Hamas. And so Putin is just as likely to show up with Russian war equipment in the West Bank in Gaza. And so because what he's doing right now, he's earning the wrath of Sunni Muslims, which is probably not in his best interest, but he could win them all back by positioning war equipment in Gaza and in the West Bank. And he's very capable of doing that. But so he's not always right, and he's not completely right. But in this particular case, he has said, hey, you're just not thinking this through. Syria was better off. There wasn't this Muslim migration problem before you intervened stupidly and started blowing up Syria.
By the way, it's not a migration problem. This is an invasion of Europe.
Right, it is.
This is
Muslim.
An invasion orchestrated, 100% guaranteed, orchestrated by the Turkish government and ISIS.
Right. You know, it's the caustic problem is Islam. What America did is it removed the constraints on Islam. by taking the dictators out of power, America removed the constraints on Islam, and Islam began to reveal itself as it really is. And so we, you know, I want to be a little bit careful in that the migration, the invasion of Europe, and this world war that is beginning right now in the Middle East, while America is to blame for removing the constraints on Islam stupidly, it's Islam that filled that void with what Islam does. Terrorism, rape, pedophilia, thievery, mass murder, kidnap, all of these.
I honestly believe Putin knows it better than anybody in Europe.
Yeah, I think he does. You know, we had a shooting of an Oregon school yesterday, and, you know, a number of people died in that shooting. What is the largest massacre in a school in modern history?
Yes, Belzhan.
Yeah, Belzhan. And where was that? What country?
In Russia.
Right. And who perpetrated it?
Over 300 children were murdered by Muslims.
By Muslims. Yeah,
300.
So, yeah. So you think that Putin knows a little bit about...
No, he knows a lot. He knows a lot.
Yeah.
He enacted rules in the Russian Federation that you cannot print anymore the hadith by Bukhari and Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? They're forbidden.
Yeah.
Because they incite to kill.
Correct. But by the same token, the Quran itself incites to kill.
Correct. But, I mean, he's taking it step by step.
Yes. Yeah, Islam, if you're going to avoid Islamic terrorism, you have to avoid Islam, is the bottom line with all of this. But here we...
Quarantine Islam, you have to quarantine. You said it a million times. You said it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to quarantine not only Islam, the whole of the Muslim world. Quarantine them. Let them stay in their country. We don't want them in our country.
No. Matter of fact, one of the things that I've said a million times is that this war that is taking place in Syria that was instigated by the American invasion of Iraq and giving Iraq to Iran, that war is going to lead to world war because the Russians and China are on the sides of the Shia, and America and Europe are bonding with the Sunnis, but schizophrenically. But you've now got Russia. We talk about world war. You've got Russia and the United States both involved in bombing in Syria, and the Russians have troops there and ships there. How in the world does America bomb in Syria now that there are Russian troops on the ground and ships in those harbors and planes that are using Syrian airports?
Well, I don't know if people remember. During the final days of year 2012, the presidential debate.
Right.
In Boca Raton in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Mitt Romney was asked, what is the greatest threat geopolitically to the world? He said, Russia. Barack Obama ridiculed him at the time, and all the Western media ridiculed him at the time.
Mm.
Who is right now?
Yeah. So, IQ, after having gone down in flames and the assumption that removing the Taliban would be better for Afghanistan, that removing Saddam Hussein would be better for Iraq, that removing Muammar Gaddafi would be better for Libya, that removing Mubarak would be better for Egypt, that interfering and bombing Yemen would be better for the Yemenites, and getting total chaos in all those countries. How is it that anybody in their right mind would think that removing Assad will be better for Syria?
Well, they are not, as we said, they are evil. They're not in their right mind.
Right.
Assad is the only stabilizing factor in Syria.
Correct. Doesn't make him a good guy.
Removing him will be replacing him with ISIS.
Right.
That's it. That's all there is to it.
I guess what's happened in today's world is people have lost the ability to think. And to think, you have to evaluate the evidence in context. To simply say Assad's bad, that Syria would be better off because he's bad, he's a ruthless dictator, doesn't contemplate the context of, okay, if you get rid of him, who's going to replace him? Is there any chance that somebody's going to replace Assad that's better than Assad?
No, none. one.
No, no. Because the only influences are either the Islamic State or al-Nusra. Those are the only empowered opposition to him.
Yeah, but al-Nusra is Islamist.
Of course.
They are less, maybe they are less terroristic than ISIS, but they are Islamists. They are like Al-Qaeda. They are the same crap.
You're right. You know, what's so interesting is that America is condemning Russia because they're not bombing the Islamic State, but instead bombing al-Nusra. In the first bombing run that America made in Syria, what was their target? It was al-Nusra.
I don't remember.
It was al-Nusra. America did exactly the same thing. Yeah, we claimed that it was around right, the same area. It was around Homs, and we claimed that they were that this was a group that was planning attacks in America. So we bombed them, and everybody said, "Wait a minute! I thought you said you're going against the Islamic State, and you just bombed al-Nusra." And they said, "Well, you know, they're all the same." And now the Russians bomb al-Nusra, and we say, "No, you're not going after the Islamic State, so you're wrong."
But yeah. In a few days, Russia bombed more targets than the United States and the Union of Europe did in the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. And what they're doing, of course, is that the Russians recognize that Syria is better off with Assad, just as Iraq was better off with Saddam Hussein than any of the Islamic extremists that will, I shouldn't use extremists, the Islamic jihadists that will replace it, yeah, just as was the case as in Libya. And so they're bombing those jihadi groups that are the biggest threat to the Assad regime. They're trying to stabilize the Assad regime before it's gone. By the way, they're going to fail. But what they're doing, attempting to do, is right in the sense of the West has come so much to the aid of the groups allegedly fighting Assad that they've just turned that whole region into a quagmire. That's why there's so many refugees.
Yeah. When the Americans removed, not only Americans, but the Americans, the British and the French,
mm-hmm.
When they removed Gaddafi, you said it at the time, I said it at the time.
Yeah.
It was a mistake,
mm-hmm.
And the people who will take over will be the so-called extremists, which mm-hmm. is not really extremists. It's just the fundamentalist Muslims.
Correct.
That's it.
All right.
And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Right. We've removed the containment.
Absolutely.
Of Islam, and now you're getting a chance to witness Islam as it actually is. And yet, this very caustic disease that is causing so much death and kidnapping and genocide and torture through the region, Europe is bringing into its home, and by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
Now you tell me,
suicide.
Are the Europeans brain dead? Yes. The answer is yes. They are brain dead.
Correct. You know, today there were five little girls that were convinced by Islamic imams to wear suicide vests to walk into to mosques that were not supportive of Boko Haram and kill a bunch of people. That was a religious motivated crime. Did the Obaminator say, you know what we need to do as a world is we've got to come to grips with the suicide bombers and with the religion that inspires them, Islam, because Islamic terrorism is all too routine?
Well, he wouldn't do that, would he? He's a Muslim. How could he do that?
Yeah.
You know, let me ask you a question, please. I need an answer from you because I trust your judgment. There are, as far as I know, over 250 million weapons being held by Americans.
Uh-huh.
So when somebody goes out and shoots 5 or 6 or 7 people, mm-hmm. how many times did this happen in the last, let's say, 50 years?
Oh, you know.
Out of 250 million people, it's very few.
Yeah, we're talking about tiny fraction of 1%.
Absolutely. So why are they talking about banning the guns?
Yeah. You know what the common denominator is in almost all of these school shootings? It's the impaired judgment of the shooter. the shooter no longer being able to process information and act in a moral, judgmental way. The shooter has lost touch with reality. You know whose fault that is? That's the fault of the liberal who has insisted on political correctness in academia, where good judgment is the ultimate sin, where there is no morality.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, all we are doing, instead of, you know, using logic, mm-hmm. out of 250 million people who have firearms, only a fraction go out and murder people.
Yeah, and most of the murderers are those who have been recently indoctrinated by political correctness and have been rendered amoral, incapable of exercising good judgment. The cause of this isn't the gun. It's political correctness and its influence as a national religion in the media, in politics, and in academia. That's the cause.
We have to repeat. Guns, knives, machetes don't kill people. Humans kill people.
Right. And most humans that kill people do so for one of three reasons. Their political faith, their religious faith, or their complete lack of ability to be reasonable. And so religion renders people so that they are incapable of exercising good judgment. Politics renders people so that they're incapable of exercising good judgment. And the political correctness that has permeated our educational establishment and our media and our politics have rendered people incapable of exercising good judgment. That's the reason people kill. They aren't able to think their way through the process. You and I know that Islam is deadly, that it's destructive, that Islam needs to be quarantined, it needs to be banished, that it is the most sinister disease ever perpetrated on humanity. But neither you nor I advocate killing or violence as response.
Never.
What we advocate is to use your mind, to shed your ignorance, to come to know the truth about Islam, and then to use your words to expose and condemn the religion.
Yeah. This is why I offered recently on one of the radio interviews, because they were condemning Ben Carson for mm-hmm. saying that a Muslim could never or should never be able to be a president of the United States.
Right.
America, which
right.
is correct. Absolutely true.
Yeah, it's true.
So I offered $200,000
uh-huh.
to CAIR, C-A-I-R,
right.
Council of American Islamic Relations, mm-hmm. to prove me or to prove Ben Carson wrong in a court of law.
Right.
$200,000.
Right. Because the basis of Islam makes it impossible for someone to support, A, the Constitution of the United States, or B, the moral code that that represents the foundation of American jurisprudence. All of those things, for example, freedom of religion. You cannot advocate freedom of religion if you're Muslim. The legal code that is in opposition to murder, in opposition to kidnap, in opposition to enslavement, that a nation that is based upon freedom, those things are anathema to the Quran and Islam. If you're a fundamentalist Muslim, you have to be opposed to everything that America stands for.
And they are opposed.
Right.
It is a fact that not a single Muslim in the United States of America mm-hmm. or a Muslim anywhere in Europe can ever be loyal to the constitutions of these countries or to the people of these countries.
Correct.
Cannot be done.
Right, but it's worse than that. It's not just that they can't be loyal to the Constitution. I'm not loyal to the Constitution of the United States. I'm not a patriot. Those things trouble me. My government troubles me. I am not a patriot, no pro-military, and believe that my country is a force for good in the world. But the difference is that what I know to be true does not motivate me to use violence to deprive other people of their life and liberty. And in Islam, the response to those things is to deprive others of their life and liberty. Huge difference.
Sanctioned by Allah.
Sanctioned by Allah. It's killing sanctioned by their wannabe God. It's enslavement. World conquest. rape.
People don't realize what you repeatedly said a long time ago, many times, in fact. 750 million females in Islam are treated like domestic animals. 125 million girls have been mutilated, genital mutilation.
Right. Is the genital mutilation not legal in the United States?
No.
But 250 million Muslim little girls have been sexually mutilated by their mothers. Is jihad, which is a terrorist act, it's perpetrating violence against defenseless people, is jihad legal in the United States?
Not according to the Constitution.
No. Does Islam demand jihad?
You cannot be a Muslim unless you are a jihadi Muslim.
Correct. According to the Quran, that's the definition. Read the Ninth Surah. It's clear. If you're not a jihadi Muslim, you're not a Muslim. You know, don't question us. Don't say, oh, you're being hateful of Islam. Read the damn Quran. Read the Ninth Surah. And then if you think that you can be a Muslim and not be a jihadist engaged in war against all non-Muslims, you come back and you debate with us. We'd like to hear what you have to say. Good luck with that. We'll be back in a moment. IQ, 9 people were killed in Oregon. And yet this week, 130 were killed at a wedding as a result of an Islamic suicide bomber. Did you hear the Obaminator speak out against Islamic suicide bombers?
Of course not. The Obaminator is himself a Muslim. Why would he condemn Islam?
You know,
after all, he is the one who said to all the branches of the United States of intelligence services and the military, you cannot associate Islam with terror.
Right. Even though that's the only common denominator.
Absolutely.
100% of terror today is perfectrated by Muslims.
100%.
Yeah, it is the only common denominator, and he's saying you cannot associate the act with the motivation for the act in 100% of cases. Doesn't that make the entire government irrational?
It is. It is irrational. I would have expected that at least somebody in the military would say it's irrational. Somebody in the CIA would say it's irrational. Somebody in the FBI, the intelligence services. But nobody is saying anything.
That means that they're all either going along to be part of it, or that the entire country is controlled by people who are counterproductive, who are actually disingenuous and immoral. That would mean the military, the intelligence and services, all politicians, everyone in the media, and all leading political candidates. That would make them all disingenuous. So why would... You know, a moment ago I said I'm not patriotic. I am not loyal to the United States. I think my country is doing more bad than good in the world. And how would you argue against that statement knowing what you know?
I can't argue with you.
Well, why would anybody in their right mind support, why would anybody in their right mind align themselves with, condone, and support evil?
Correct, but that's nothing to do with the American Constitution. That's to do with the corruption of a government.
Yeah, that's true. The Constitution, for the most part, is a decent document. I don't have an issue with the Constitution, but it is a decent document, maybe among the best founding documents for a country. But the United States doesn't run based upon the U.S. Constitution. If it did, there would be no limits whatsoever to guns.
Right.
You know, if it did, we would not have limits on free speech, which we do. You know, so the United States chooses to ignore the U.S. Constitution whenever it serves its interest. You know that 90% of the federal budget is based on things that are not mandated in the U.S. Constitution. And the U.S. Constitution says if it's not declared herein as a responsibility of the federal government, then the rights belong to the state and to the people. 90% of what the government's doing is unconstitutional.
I agree. 100%. It's nothing to do with the Constitution. Even the Supreme Court is wrong on many issues.
Correct. That's most of the renderings of the Supreme Court are actually in opposition to the U.S.
Constitution.
There's no mandate for national health care. There's no mandate for a military. There's no mandate for Social Security. There's no mandate for public education. None of these things. And yet they dominate the U.S. budget. You know, America is as disenfranchised from its constitution as its population is disenfranchised from evidence and reason.
But I agree. Unfortunately, I agree.
Yeah.
There is no reason.
Yeah, there is no thinking. Because if you were informed and rational, you would know that the worst thing you could do in the Islamic world would be to engage, to try to impose democracy, and to arm both sides, or either one side or the other. You would know that that's the worst thing that you could possibly do.
But yet America and the American people have examples. For example, after World War II, Japan, which was a dictatorship, and part and part of an imperial power, became a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
South Korea became a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
All of them became democracies.
Mm-hmm.
Muslim world, not a single one of them became a democracy.
Even Russia. Even Russia. Yes. But the only quasi-democracy in the Islamic world would be Turkey. And Erdogan, it's just you had military dictatorships that migrated for a brief time to people choosing and voting, but Erdogan has taken it to a theocracy.
Absolutely. Yes.
So there really is no democracy in the Islamic world, because Islam is opposed to democracy. Matter of fact, if the people ruled in an Islamic country, what you're going to see is what you see in Syria. It's what you see in Iraq. Muslims need to be contained. Muslim dictators know that. Why don't we?